Welcome to the E-Commerce Badassery Podcast, the place for scrappy entrepreneurs who want to learn actionable steps and strategies to grow the traffic, sales, and profit in your e-commerce business. I'm your host, Jessica Totillo-Coster, a 20-year retail veteran and former brick-and-mortar boutique owner who spent 3 years as the only employee of a seven-figure online store. That shit was crazy. I know exactly how it feels to do all the things, and I'm sharing everything I learned the hard way so you don't have to. I may have started this business by accident, but supporting badass bosses like you lights me the fuck up, and I am so stoked to see you grow. Are you ready, babe? Let's roll. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Badassery Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Totillo-Coster. These last few weeks, I've been having conversations with other educators who work with product-based businesses like Katie Hunt of Proof to Product, Kristen Fisher, owner of Boku Box and Wholesale Coach, both of who were on the podcast recently, plus Sierra Stockland, Profit First Certified Inventory Strategist, and even our new resident ad strategist in the lounge, Anna Shipley. Both of those ladies will be on the podcast in the coming weeks. We're always talking about what we're seeing with our students and clients and the recommendations we're making to them. While, of course, we all have a lot to say depending upon the exact topic we're talking about or the specific business we're referring to, but there is one general consensus about what it takes to be successful: having a boring business. And when I say boring, that doesn't mean you don't get to be creative and have fun, try new things, jump on new marketing strategies, etc. That's my favorite part of running any business, especially a product-based one. But the truth is, you can have the most fun, creative business out there, be an early adopter of every new social platform or feature they offer. Everything can look really good on the outside. But if you don't have the tried and true business foundations in place, it's going to be hard to sustain your growth and profitability over the long term. And that flash in the pan success you see from going viral or getting that PR feature or even having a product take off with ads isn't going to be enough to keep you afloat indefinitely. The other day, I saw a post on Instagram from a product-based business owner with the heading, "Social media isn't real. Here are the things I struggle with as a small business owner." She goes on to share all of the not so glamorous things about running her business, what keeps her up at night, and the fears she has about the future. And if she didn't share that and you were just looking from the outside in, it seems like she's got it all figured out. Great social media presence, check. Great engagement, check. Consistently releasing new collections with great marketing around them and huge launches, check. You'd think it was all perfect. And while all of those wins are real, and she's running a very successful business and growing every year, her post proves that it's not all sunshine and rainbows, no matter how it looks on the outside. At the end of the day, I blame the highlight reel of social media for a lot of the struggles I see business owners face. That's not to poo-poo social media altogether. It's an amazing tool for small business owners, and I do think overall, social media is a net positive. But there is no denying that seeing businesses like hers and many others on social creates so much FOMO. And it's hard for small business owners to focus on the foundational, somewhat mundane things that truly matter. It's also really easy to forget that there are tons of successful businesses out there that aren't the content creators of their business or don't use social media at all. And look, I get it. I'm a business owner. I'm a human. I get caught up in this too, more often than I'd like to admit. But even when I see a business that looks super cool and fun on the outside, when I dig a little deeper and strip away all the pretty packaging to see what is really driving their success, it always comes back to the same foundational strategies and a commitment to constant improvement. And when I think back to my corporate retail days, something Kristen Fisher and I recently reminisced about on the podcast, those are all boring businesses too. Essentially, you don't have to do all the things, you just have to do a handful of them really well. Moving forward, my goal is to make sure you and the rest of my students and clients are building boring businesses. I'm so dedicated to this idea, I even incorporated it into the latest iteration of the Lounge sign-up page. because boring businesses mean you don't have to chase every shiny object. Your marketing strategy will age like a fine wine and get better over time. You'll be able to work less without sacrificing profit. And you can have your best sales season ever while still getting to enjoy your life. I'm telling you, it's truly the formula for success. So now that you're hopefully on board with the idea of a boring business, let's talk about what that actually means. So what does it look like to have a boring business? Well, it all starts with a die-hard focus on profit over arbitrary revenue numbers. Sierra Stocklin and I talk more about this on an upcoming episode, and we touched on it during her previous appearance, and I'll stick links in the show notes for that. But the gist is, if you don't have profit, you don't have a business. Sure, not every business is going to be profitable from day one, especially if it's your first time running a product-based business. But the sooner you start prioritizing profit, the better. As you start setting goals for the rest of the year, make sure you're thinking about it in terms of profit instead of revenue. Next up, a website that sells for you. I always hesitate to talk too much about the importance of your website because the majority of websites I see are already pretty good. And most small business owners I know, probably because they're creative, have this propensity to spend too much time on their website and not enough time marketing their business. But every once in a while, I come across a site that isn't quite optimized for conversion. It's hard to navigate, looks a little unprofessional, and doesn't include the information the customer needs to make a buying decision. The biggest indicator of your website's success is your conversion rate and performance of your shopping journey. That's too much to go into here today, but know that as long as you're in the 1% to 3% conversion range, you're probably doing just fine. When in doubt, make sure your website is set up to convert a cold shopper who doesn't know anything about you, your business, and maybe not even your product. If you can solve for them, if you can convert them, everyone else will be covered. If you want to learn more about how to do this, check out episode 185 with Rishi Rawat. He's a master of conversion optimization, and that episode is gold. Now, we've already talked a little bit about social media and how you don't actually need social to get attention for your business, but you do need some sort of external marketing or exposure to attract new customers. Just because you built it doesn't mean they'll come. And while repeat customers are essential to your profitability, and we're going to talk more about them in a bit, you can't create repeat customers if you don't have any new ones. What this looks like for you is going to depend on a lot of factors, including where your perfect customers hang out and what you actually enjoy. Sure, it might be daily social media posts, but it could also be organic engagement on a platform like Reddit, something that's working quite well for a lounge member at the moment. Or it could be collaborations with other small businesses, getting your products into retail stores, getting them on other sales platforms, exhibiting at in-person events, hosting virtual shopping events, participating in virtual vendor events, getting PR coverage, doing product pre-launch events, paid ads, or a combination of any of those. There are a lot of ways to get attention for your business. Your goal is to identify the ones that make sense for you, go all in on them, and continue to iterate and improve over time. I have a ton of podcast episodes diving deeper in how to actually market your business. Make sure you check the show notes for all of the links. Once you've attracted those new customers, now it's time to turn them into repeat customers and to do it as quickly as possible. I was talking to a client the other day who saw huge growth last year thanks to investing heavily into paid ads. She had a handful of products that really took off and brought in a ton of new customers, but the majority of them never came back to buy again. While there are a few different reasons why this is likely happening based on what I saw, the most obvious missing piece was being intentional about getting those new customers to buy into the brand and its mission. Up until now, the majority of the customers they had came to them because they were invested in the brand and what they stood for. This new cohort came in because they liked the product that went viral on paid media. That group was not invested in the brand at all. And sure, it was great to get all those sales, but because most of them came from paid media, the cost to acquire them was too high, to justify only getting one sale. What this looks like in practice is going to vary business to business. But the easiest way to make sure you're doing your part to turn that first-time customer into a repeat customer is through email marketing and a solid post-purchase flow. Which leads me to the next pillar of a boring business, and that's a killer email marketing strategy. You knew I was going to say that, right? I'm not going to go too deep on the specifics of this right now. I will stick links in the show notes to other episodes for you to check out, including the link to the waitlist for Email Badassery. The course is in development as we speak with the first round of beta students, and it's truly the most comprehensive course on email marketing for e-commerce out there. Believe me, I did my research. It's going to be launching to the public around the end of April, and those on the waitlist will get a special deal, so make sure you're on there. But ultimately, when it comes to building an e-commerce business, a strategic automation strategy and ongoing campaign emails are the way that you convert first-time customers and build their lifetime value, ultimately making them more profitable over time. If you have yet to prioritize this, if you are procrastinating on this for some reason because you are feeling overwhelmed and you don't know what to do, get on the Email Badassery waitlist, but honestly, just start with the default that's in your email marketing platform. Having something is better than nothing. Last but certainly not least is solid inventory management. Aside from the marketing aspect, this is probably where most product-based businesses get themselves into trouble. Either they're too heavily invested in product and end up with cash tied up into inventory that doesn't move, or they miss out on sales because they're constantly running out of their best sellers. This is truly one of the hardest parts of running a product-based business, especially if you have a wide product assortment across multiple different categories. It's a true marriage of art and science, and it takes practice. If you don't have a system for managing your inventory, this is something you definitely need to stop putting off and really start diving into. And yes, I've got some podcast episodes to get you started with it, and I'll stick links to those in the show notes. So, how do you feel about having a boring business? I know it doesn't sound or feel sexy, but you know what is sexy AF? Profiting cash in your pocket. A business that doesn't keep you up at night. Well, at least not every night. You're still an entrepreneur. Time away from your business, doing the shit you love with the people you care about. Traveling the world. Eating a pint of ice cream while binge watching Netflix because you can, not because you're trying to escape. I don't know about you, but if building a business that supports the lifestyle I want to create gives me limitless possibilities and the freedom from a thankless corporate job, if that requires me to create a boring business, I'm game. Make sure you check the show notes for links to all the other episodes and resources to help you optimize the boring parts of your business. If you want ongoing support on all of these things, I recommend you join me in the Lounge membership. It's the best place to get access to me and my brain on your business. And again, don't forget to sign up for the Email Badassery waitlist for a special Founders Round discount. It's going to be pretty epic. If nothing else, I hope today's episode reminds you that while running a business isn't necessarily easy, it can be simple. There is a method to the madness, and as soon as we embrace that, this entrepreneur thing can be a lot more enjoyable overall. And that, my friends, is a wrap. I hope you're having an amazing week. Have a kick-ass rest of your day, and I'll see you on the flip side. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you want to learn more about growing your e-commerce business, get started with my free resource library at ecommercebadassery.com/free-stuff and get an invite to The Lounge, my e-commerce marketing membership. When you're ready for one-on-one support, apply to work with me at ecommercebadassery.com/apply. Before you go, would you do me a quick favor? Leave a rating and review and tap that follow button. This pushes me up the chart so I can support more scrappy e-commerce entrepreneurs just like you. I'm on a mission to reach as many as I can, and I could really use your help. Thanks so much in advance. Until next time, e-commerce friend, stay badass.